Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals, this Zoom session of our oral calendar this morning. Today is May 16th, 2024, and the case before us is A23-1618 KSR Investment LLC et al. Versus the City of Columbia Heights. Counsel, this is being recorded. This argument is being recorded on Zoom, but only an audio version of the recording will be posted publicly on our website. No other recordings are permitted. Each of you has 15 minutes for your principal arguments, and counsel for appellant, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. At the start of each argument, if you would please identify yourself and the party you represent for the record. And when we aren't speaking, all of us will keep ourselves on mute. And the clock is there, hopefully visible to you. And with that, I believe, counsel for appellant, we are ready for you.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Miles Ringsred. I'm with Troutman Martin Law, and I'm here today representing Realtors KSR Investment LLC and Penrod Lane LLC. KSR and Penrod bring this appeal requesting relief from this court in three areas: reversal of the City of Columbia Heights July 10th, 2023 revocation hearing decision revoking KSR's rental license, reversal of the City's August 28th, 2023 decision upholding the July 10th revocation, and perhaps most importantly, the reversal of the City's application of the two-strike ordinance 5A.408 against KSR and Penrod. I believe it makes the most sense to begin the discussion today with the July 10th revocation hearing, as it really forms the foundation for the rest of this conversation, even though there is a lot of overlap between the issues from the July 10th revocation hearing and the August 28th appeal hearing. And I would also like to open up the floor to your honors questions to focus our conversation and to ensure we make the best use of our time here.
Mr. Ringsred, and I appreciate that. I'd like to start with looking at Resolution 2023-35 and focusing, first of all, on the findings of fact that the City Council made in connection with that resolution. And I'm asking you, what findings, and there are eight of them, what findings of fact do you challenge as unsupported by the evidence, if any?
Let me get that up so I can specifically.
I do understand that there's a typo in finding number one. That should be, I think, according to the fire assistant fire chief's testimony, that should be August 19th, 2022, when the first inspection occurred, I believe.
Yes.
But with that correction, are there other errors in these findings of fact?
Well, when it comes to the errors in the findings of fact, it sort of speaks to one of the claims that respondents brings up in terms of that KSR and Penrod are not appealing the determination that there were violations that were present. Essentially, the appeal is the arbitrary and capriciousness of holding and using the three violations, the fire door, the pest control, and the what they call foundation repairs, when it was clear that one, at the time of the hearing, the foundation was corrected and repaired, that when it comes to pest control issues, there is no way to speed up or remedy that when you have expert exterminators hired to perform those. And then when it comes to the fire doors, when there are supply chain issues and when doors have been ordered and it don't arrive in time. And so if I could find the copy of the resolution and have it in front of me, I could try to address specifically what on those findings of fact were deficient, because it's not necessarily that each one of those findings of fact were deficient. It's that the arbitrariness of using those facts as the backdrop for the reasoning to revoke under those three violations.
Well, I will tell you this, and that is that the findings go through the numerous times that housing inspectors returned to the property after August 19th. And the last finding is that on June 28th, 2023, inspectors checked records for the property and noted the violations remained uncorrected. So is that what you're challenging, the finding that the violations were uncorrected at the time of the July 10th, 2023 hearing?
No.
Okay, so you know that you acknowledge they were uncorrected, but you challenge the city's exercise of its discretion to revoke the license on that basis.
Correct.
Okay,
as you would
thank
see
you.
It when it goes back to the August 19th, I believe it would be referring to 2022, there were a plethora of inspections, re-inspections, and then each re-inspection would ultimately result in other violations that were found. And I haven't gone through a complete tally of it, but if you go through all of them, there are dozens and dozens of violations that were found that were corrected throughout that process. But it is ultimately the decision to revoke. Again, if there's a pest control issue and you have hired an exterminator to take care of it, it's not something that you can just snap your fingers and fix. And so, yes, it's not necessarily that they were not corrected at that time. I believe the one that was the masonry work that was done, but the arbitrariness of the decision that it wasn't done to workmanlike conduct.
Mr. Ringsred, did your client request? Did it request as an alternative to the revocation of the license that you think would be closer, less arbitrary, in other words, but would still give some assurance despite the long length of time that indeed, I guess it would be the last remaining issue by what you're arguing, the pest control would be taken care of?
Well, if you look at the ordinances, that's one of the arbitrariness of going to the most severe revocation of a license, but not even just that, but then applying a 5-year revocation to this when there are suspensions. There could be the property manager at the time mentioned, they could put, there's all sorts of agreements that could have gone into, they could have suspended something, had some sort of a deadline on something required, communications with the exterminator so that they could have spoken to the exterminator themselves to hear more about what the issues were. Because even within the context of just the pest control issue, there was all sorts of confusion about whether some people saying it was building wide or when in fact it was really isolated to each apartment, which was demonstrated by the property manager, the exterminator, but also during the appeal hearing, one of the tenants that showed up says that they didn't have those pest issues. And so
Mr. Ringsred is maybe part of the answer to your suggestion that the city could have chose to suspend or continue to monitor. I mean, the fact that these violations had persisted for a year by the time this came to hearing in July of 2023.
Yes, certainly, because as I mentioned, two of them had been corrected by the time of the hearing. So really, it was just the pest control issue. As the record reflects, doors were ordered, I believe, either in December or early January, fire-rated doors for the replacement of those. There was a waiting period and some more waiting and contact with them. And ultimately, it was determined that these doors were not going to come. So they had to place another order to get these doors. And so they had not received those doors to make those corrections by the time of the final inspection. But by the time of the hearing, they had been done. And the contractor that did replace them was there at the hearing. And so that was corrected. The concrete work For the foundation was corrected, but not aesthetically. And so that would be a really easy one to say, hey, we'll come back and check it out. The real concern allegedly from the city was that the gaps in that foundation could be contributing to the pest control issue. And so at least that aspect of that issue was addressed with that. It just didn't look aesthetic. The subjective aesthetics of it was not up to the city's desires. And so really at the end of this, the last issue would have been the pest control issue. And there's all sorts of things, contact with the exterminator. They had the exterminators, they had the contract, they had invoices, they knew who they were working with. And so they could have easily reached out to them or required Penrod or I mean KSR to provide updates periodically.
Mr. Ingsred, did I read the record correctly? It's undisputed that Mr. Khan was not the license holder.
Yes. So he is a property manager. There was a lot of confusion. If you read through the transcripts, originally thinking he was the owner, calling him the owner, and then it was ultimately clarified that he was simply the property manager. He has no ownership interests in the property. And just helps apply for licenses and manage tenants' relations and coordinate contractors and the such.
And he was a property manager for both properties. So that's the city's, I think that's the argument I see that under 5A408E has an interest in the two in the license.
Correct. And yeah, it really was not until the respondent's brief that KSR and Penrod were finally made aware of at least what council for the city had determined this interest to be. Because as you can see throughout the record, there was vague discussions about it. And then there was, during the appeal hearing, there was this flow chart that tried to connect all sorts of entities and go through a confusing flow chart based on an address trying to connect these individuals. And so, this interest aspect is honestly one of the most, I wouldn't say interesting aspects of this this consideration, but it is certainly a matter of first impression.
Can I ask you this? If we were to determine that the city did not abuse its discretion in suspending KSR's occupancy license on July 10th, 2023, because of the violations, do you agree that Mr. Khan would be subject to the 5-year revocation period as a person with interests in both of those occupancy licenses?
I think that would probably make the most sense in terms of how this ordinance would need to operate, because if it did not operate that way, it would lead to all the absurdities and the constitutional violations and the issues that are identified in our brief. It seems that to basically hold that because he was the manager of each of these properties, and then to impute that 5-year revocation because of that management has just, again, absurd conclusions. And then also leading to the point of, then could a tenant's interest in this property? And so if you're going to impute that interest of the manager onto the owners, it really just creates such a tangle of issues that really the way to insulate these property owners who have essentially no control over what other property violations could be occurring and no ability to correct other property violations, to insulate it to potentially the property manager from holding or managing properties for that period and not imputing the property manager's failures onto the owners.
And if we were to agree with you on if we were to believe that the revocation of KSR's license is justified, is non-arbitrary, it's justified, would it have to go back to that? But we thought that the 5-year against each of the owners was inappropriate, but it should be against Con. What is supposed to happen? What would have to happen there to determine the length of the revocation of KSR?
Well, I think if this court determined that it was not arbitrary and capricious for the revocation of KSR's rental license, that would be its first revocation. Penrod had a revocation back in 2021. So they both have one. What they're trying to do is say, well, because Penrod had that revocation.
No, I understand that. I'm just wondering how long, if we were to agree with you that the two revocations against could only be against the property manager with respect to his management of properties, but not against the owner. I was wondering how long you think the revocation of KSR's rental license would be based on its violations, not based on the two revocations.
I suppose what would happen is then they go through a process of having to reapply and get a new license. That would essentially be what would happen, as far as I imagine.
Okay. Well, you have 5 seconds left, but you'll also have time for a rebuttal.
Absolutely.
Great.
I'll rest my case and reserve the rest for rebuttal.
Thank you. And counsel for respondent.
May it please the court. My name is Andrew Wolf, and I'm here on behalf of the City of Columbia Heights. The city is asking that the court please affirm the city's decision. And I had an outline here, as most attorneys do before appearing before you, and I had two reasons listed. And one of the reasons should be very clear after the first argument here. One of them is a little less clear. First, I would say that it's undisputed the city had a legally sufficient basis to revoke KSR's license, and that basis was supported by facts in the record. The second reason is that it's undisputed the individual to whom the 5-year revocation was applied understood what the ordinance meant. Just returning to that first point, after reading relator's reply, it seemed to me that they were fully upfront about the fact that we're not challenging the violations for KSR here. We're only challenging the process and the procedure. But listening to Council Ringsred's argument, a lot of these things sounded, and we didn't really think that there was a violation at the time the license was revoked. We think we did a pretty decent job of fixing the foundation. We had a contract with an exterminator. Yes, the exterminator said that there was half the building was infested and there was possibly a raccoon living in the building. And we hadn't heard from the exterminator in many months, but we don't think that, that justified a revocation. So it is a little confusing. Are they challenging the violations or are they not? Well, the fact of the matter is the Property Maintenance Code Section 5A-408C says that any violation of the Property Maintenance Code shall be a prima facie showing of cause for revocation, and any other restrictions that the City Council may choose to place on a licensee. The fact that they can't challenge the legitimacy of the violations before this court because they've never appealed them to the Board of Appeals, that's one thing. But if we take, in the reply memo, if we take respondents at their or relators at their word that, they're not challenging the violations, well, here we have the ordinance says prima facie violation, prima facie cause for revocation. There was
right,
nothing
but I suppose at the revocation hearing, because it's only a prima facie cause, at the revocation hearing, you could say, sure, yes, I don't challenge that those violations are found, but they've been corrected. And here are other reasons why actually the result should not be revocation. That's fair, right?
Yes, Your Honor, that is absolutely fair. And that's why the city, as Judge Bjorkman pointed out, the city didn't just do one inspection in August and one inspection in October and say, well, you guys didn't appeal, so these violations are on the books. We're not going to do anything. The city went back and inspected again and again and again and again, and they were never corrected.
Well, let me ask you this. I've given our standard of review. Let's just assume for the purpose of this question that we were to determine there was a sufficient basis and it was not arbitrary and capricious for the city to revoke KSR's license based on all of the violations that we've discussed so far in this hearing. The concern I have is in extending the 5-year revocation to Penrod and KSR, who I think you acknowledge Kahn does not own, is not a principal of, simply managed properties for these two discrete companies. What? How do we read 5A408 of the Columbia Heights ordinances to extend that five-year ban to the two license holders, the owners of the property?
So I would provide two responses to that. The first has nothing to do with the answer to your question, but I would say I don't know if Mr. Kahn has an interest in either of these entities. There's nothing in the record that says he does. So to that point, there's no basis to say he is the owner of either Penrod or KSR. The second point is, the city has never said that KSR and Penrod are, the five-year revocation applies to them. In the relator's principal brief, they said, well, if the city was applying this to Kahn, KSR and Penrod should be able to reapply as soon as tomorrow. And in response, the city said, yes, you're correct. They can reapply for a new license, but Mr. Kahn cannot be the property manager because he is subject to the five-year rental license revocation.
But Penrod has to reapply, is what you're saying. Why would they have to reapply if they weren't revoked? Why couldn't they just change management company? I mean, that's what you're, what, so is that what you're saying?
I am saying that the license was revoked. It is not, they are not prohibited for 5 years from reapplying. And the license was revoked because if you look at the license in the record, and I believe it's, I have one page printed out here. It's administrative record 614 is the application, but it was filled out and filed by Mr. Kahn. Mr. Kahn is listed on the license as the individual who received the permit. And he signed this property disclosure form showing that he has a shared interest between Peter's Place, which is KSR, as well as the Penrod apartments.
So what
so this
does that
license
mean?
Could not...
So what if instead Penrod had submitted, I suppose a management company could submit it. Sounds like the rental license, or an owner could have signed it or submit, or the application for it. What difference does it make if the owner Penrod did it, Penrod owner versus the management company with respect to Penrod's ability to continue renting?
And I should have been more clear. It's not necessarily the fact that Mr. Kahn submitted it. If you look at administrative record page 614, the city has, and this gets to the void to vagueness argument, which I don't think we even need to get to, given that everyone agrees that Penrod and KSR can reapply, but the city looks at the interest as not simply I own the property. It's also who has a management interest, whose responsibility is it under this property maintenance code to go in and make the corrections, to make sure that the building's unlocked when the inspector comes to inspect. Who is it that's gonna actually do the work to make sure that these people are living in quality, affordable housing, And that's the management interest. So Mr. Kahn has a management interest. KSR obviously owns the property. So it's not the fact that Mr. Kahn for Penrod submitted the application. It's the fact that he's the property manager who was responsible.
And so what is it? Oh, go ahead, Judge Peterson. Sorry.
I was just going to ask, so if next month KSR hires a new manager, Penrod hires a new manager, and they reapply, both of them, for a license, the five-year revocation ban would not apply to prohibit that. There might be other reasons not to reinstate, but that it wouldn't be based on this five-year ban. Am I right about your position on that?
Yes, Your Honor. And I think, I'd be speculating. I'm not the staff that would, process the application, but I would assume staff would want to have some, assurance that, okay, well, because, and Mr. Ringsred cited the cases. City of Minneapolis used to have a similar ordinance, and they had a problem with people building shell companies and just to hide the fact that they had an interest. So I would assume that the staff may want, additional information about who actually has an interest in these entities, but there would be nothing that would prevent them from
Mr.
a five-year revocation.
And maybe it's the way it was presented. I've become a bit more confused by your answers, but I appreciate the answers. It kind of puts a little different tone. When you talk about interest, are you still talking about 5A408E? That's
yes.
The one that I thought, as it was coming to us, and maybe by our questions, perhaps we all did, that was a basis for the five-year revocation. So, and that's all I read in there, but we're all agreeing that he doesn't hold a license at all. He has an interest in a license. So I'm not sure I understand what under that provision then is the basis for revocation of Penrod, simply because he has an interest in the fact that they got a license or have a license. I'm not following what his relationship other than in that provision. In other words, maybe I should say it a different way. I think Mr. Ringsred's point was no licensee should lose it because their manager can no longer have an interest in it. They just have to get a different manager is what we're talking about. So wouldn't it be just simply a matter of letting them know you need a different manager so they get one without even losing a license, because that's not a basis to lose a license under this scenario?
Well, and I understand the question, and I would say, you know, the property maintenance code, and we, I believe it was at the end of our brief, somewhere on page 60, 61, where we pointed out that the property maintenance code is pretty clear in the fact that no owner or manager necessarily is the gets, you know, we have the license. It's the property itself that is licensed. And the people who have the interest in it are the owner of the property manager. So to say that Mr. Khan never held the license, well, I mean, that's not technically true, because in the case of Penrod, he did hold the license. In the case of KSR, the owner held the license. The thing that's important is that it's the property itself that is the licensed property.
And I understand that, but there's two different provisions in that 5A408, an owner, a person or owner who has an interest, a person. So what we're talking about is not the owner, but a person who has an interest in two or more license revoked pursuant to this code shall be ineligible to hold or have an interest in the occupancy. I'm not understanding the connection of am I correct? And maybe I got the two confused. KSR is the one with the violations that we're focused on, correct?
So Penrod had a previous revocation, I think in 2019. KSR had a previous.
Okay.
So they both would have one revocation.
Right.
So
but the point being is that what we're under review has nothing to do with Penrod in terms of the violation, correct?
To the extent that the two violations, the one violation of Penrod occurred while Mr. Khan was their manager, the one violation for KSR occurred while Mr. Khan was their manager, that's the extent that we're considering Penrod.
So we are back to interpreting this. Here's my question, and maybe it's exactly the way I understood the argument of a relator. Any person who has an interest, and you're referring to Mr. Khan because he manages both property, is ineligible to have an interest in an occupancy license. So does that not mean he simply can no longer be the manager? Has nothing to do with Penrod having their license revoked. It just means him. He cannot be part of their license because he cannot manage. Am I reading that?
That is absolutely correct.
Yes. So there should be there's no basis for revocation under this two interest. It just has nothing to do with Penrod. It has to do with Khan.
Well, so the ordinance itself is self-actuating. You know, it says any person or owner shall be ineligible to have or hold. So
right. And in this case, the person is Khan, but he doesn't hold the license. Right. So he's ineligible to hold a license. He's ineligible to have an interest. It has nothing to do with Penrod.
It has nothing to do with Penrod to the extent that there is no individual that holds the license. It's the property that's licensed. So as soon as Mr. Khan has two licenses, any license that
but he has no licenses. He has an interest, right? He has no license. He has an interest in the entity that has a license because he works for them as a manager, correct?
Correct. And he's ineligible to have that interest. So that is why the license is revoked.
But
just to understand, so when it says any person or owner has an interest in two or more licenses, the license referred to there is the occupancy license, right?
Correct.
And the argument is that your argument is that property manager has an interest in that occupancy license and is ineligible to have that interest in occupancy in an occupancy license for 5 years if there have been two or more. And I guess until he doesn't have it, that occupancy license is revoked, right? I mean, is that when you're saying it's self-actualizing, as long as he still is the manager of Penrod until he's not? And so that's the problem with the occupancy license for Penrod. Is that it?
Correct. And that's why we don't have an action of the city council saying, Penrod, we're revoking your license. We have a letter from the fire assistant fire chief saying, because of the fact that you have a property manager who is ineligible to hold a license, who is currently on your license, that is why your license is revoked.
Well, can I ask also, what if you have a property owner, and we'll make it him, but it is a hypothetical situation. Let's say he owns, or he's a property manager rather, of two other properties which have never had a problem under his management. It seems, as I read this, you can't have an interest in any occupancy license, that if there were a total of four properties, two that never had a problem, those also would get notice that their occupancy license is revoked until they get a new manager. Is that correct?
That's correct. And if you look at the record, we have evidence of, you know, when Penrod's license was revoked, the city turned around pretty quickly to allow them to, you know, have an application, resubmit their application, and grant them the license. It's not, the revocation here is not, you know, we're revoking you. Are, I don't know if there's a certain time period, if they say the rest of the season, you have to reapply in the next series, but we had a pretty quick turnaround, at least in the case of Penrod, the first time they were revoked, that the license was regranted.
Could I ask a follow-up? And his answer may run over the time a bit.
Of course.
Thank you. So if I follow your reading of that provision, let's assume these two properties had a plumber had a contract with both of them, and it's nothing to do with any violations, but that person has an interest in two more license because he's contracted to do plumbing for work for both of the buildings. And of course, other the same facts occur here. The Penrod would lose its license, and I understand the plumber, as I was understanding the argument of Mr. Ringsred, the plumber would lose his interest because he would not be have an interest in either of those occupancies. So that would be the prohibition, essentially. Would that be correct under your reading of that provision?
It would not be correct, respectfully, Your Honor, because if we look at the definitions in the property maintenance code, an owner is defined as someone not only that has a legal, you know, equitable or, you know, fee title to the property, it's someone who has control over the property, which would be the property manager. So a plumber who comes in and does odd jobs for a building doesn't have control over the property. Presumably the property manager would be the one letting him into the building, asking him to do jobs. That's the person who has an interest in making sure that the building is, you know, up to code. And I see I'm out of time. There were a few other things I wanted to address, but I will end it there.
Judge Sleater, did you get what you needed? You don't have to end on our account if you want to have more.
No, that's fine. I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ringsred.
Thank you, Your Honors. Well, it seems that you really understand the crux of the interest issue. And I just want to briefly respond to the aspect that it was, in fact, Mr. Khan who had the 5-year revocation and not KSR or Penrod. First, that's would really be news to us. At no point did the city offer and inform the relators to that they could reapply. It was brought up after the July 10th. They had an opportunity to discuss this and inform them of this at whatever we want to call it, a reconsideration or the August 28th appeal. And so this would be news to us. And then
do you agree, Mr. Ringsred, with the argument, or I guess the position that the city is taking today, in the sense that Penrod's revoked only because the license holder, which in this case happened to be Mr. Khan, is the applicant for the license, is subject to the ban, and they could be reinstated with new management? Do you agree with that?
Yes. I think back to the question previously that you asked in terms of isolating it to the manager and not, I think the issue here, as you have all identified, is then imputing that revocation onto the owners rather than basically saying, as you said, now you have to go through, the owners are going to have to do the expense of redoing that, reapplying. There's going to be all sorts of confusions with tenants, because as you see, there's all sorts of notices that have to go up.
But isn't that just a problem of having what the ordinance is doing is, if there is a manager accepting, I mean, the occupancy license is a thing, right? It's a thing that the premises has, but I'm not even sure it's imputing it exactly to a person or an owner. It's saying, you know, it can't be managed by this person who has a history of two revocations for violations previously. And so, you know, that might be a little bit of a hassle to get a new manager and to get a manager and to ask to reinstate the occupancy license. But why would that be in any way conflict with what the sort of the plain language of the ordinance and what it requires?
I would say just in essentially because then they have their license revoked. If it was because of a manager, and as the hypothetical that you pose, say that there were two other unrelated properties and that had nothing to do with this, their property, that would, because under this ordinance, it's the two strike ordinance. You get one opportunity. Once your license is revoked, the next time their license can be revoked for 5 years. Just having a license revocation isn't just a hassle or an inconvenience.
Solvable for them, I'm saying if their manager has in fact been revoked appropriately, it's solvable. You get another manager, and it looks like they were given what, like 6 weeks maybe notice before it becomes unlawful to occupy by virtue of the notice.
Sure. My point was that it's not just an inconvenience or having to find a new manager. That other property, the property manager's revocation, causes a revocation on the owners. That is their first strike, so that the next time they may actually have an issue, that would be the second time that they would have a revocation, and the city could then revoke their license for 5 years. And so it's not just an issue of going through the hassle of that and so forth. And I guess finally, just to really point out, it seems your honors understands the interpretation that the city has of this interest as it applies to contractors or applies to anyone with that kind of interest, really is the troubling aspect of this that would lead to all sorts of future confusion and absurd results that really have no application to the policy of which these ordinances are meant to protect.
Mr. Ingstrad, and I fear your answer might go a little bit over, so I'll have to have Judge Smith's blessing. I wanted to get to that. I thought I read something in the record, and I was familiar with this from a previous case that I had sat on, is that, am I correct, was it city council members mentioned that our concern was that you have owners kind of using a subterfuge, maybe a shell corporation or something, who we've already revoked their license, still becoming an owner in the property. Am I correct that that was their concern about the interest, because that now shell company is owned, has an interest of the same principal owner that the previous company that was revoked?
You're exactly correct, Your Honor. It's at least from the record, that's what I was able to ascertain. There's a case, I'm not sure if this is a case you're referring to, but it's cited to in our brief. It's in Re France. It's an unpublished opinion, but that really gets to the crux of that concern, where it essentially became a shell game, where an owner that had their licenses revoked, they found, because they own so many properties, they didn't want to harm the tenants. They found a third party who would come in, assume ownership, and kind of get this individual out. But really what in fact happened is they essentially partnered on properties. They used other properties to be owners of that one new managing property that Mr. Franz was supposed to have sole control over. And they ultimately found out that there was a lot of lying and deceit. And yes, so it does come down. That was one of the aspects of it. But this wasn't present here. They admitted that wasn't their concern in this issue, yet they followed through with it. And so I unless the court has any other questions, I would recommend you take a quick look at In Re France, and I would request that this court reverse the city's decision to revoke the KSR's rental license, but also for the application of the two-strike ordinance.
And just to be clear, do you represent also Mr. Khan? Is that correct?
No.
No. Okay. Thank you both for your arguments. The case is submitted and your briefing. The case is submitted. We'll have a decision out in a statutory time period. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.